Passio Christi, which is Latin for the reason of Christ, seeks to encourage and strengthen the faith of Christian students at universities around the world through the use of intellectual investigation and apologetics while sharing Christ's message of love to those that have yet to receive it. Ratio Christi looks for opportunities to partner with Christian students to place Christian apologetics clubs at secular, liberal, religious, public, and private universities around the world in order to take part in the battle for the mind and begin to reverse the humanist trend of thought by providing and equipping students with the answers or means of getting the answers to the pressing questions of life that shape our worldview. Stay tuned for my conversation with Ratio Christi President Corey Miller next on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest for this episode is Dr. Corey Miller. He is the president and CEO of Ratio Christi. He grew up in Utah as a sixth-generation Mormon, came to faith in Christ in 1988. Since then, he has been a youth and college pastor, a Bible college and university professor, campus minister, lecturer, first and foremost, an evangelist. From 2009 to 2015, he served on staff with CRU, directing the Christian Faculty, Grad, and Staff Network at Purdue. He is an adjunct professor of philosophy and comparative religions at Indiana University Kokomo. He has variously published and is the co-author of Is Faith in God Reasonable? Debates in Philosophy, Science, and Rhetoric, published in 2014. He holds master's degrees in philosophy, biblical studies, and in philosophy of religion and ethics. His PhD is in philosophical theology from the University of Aberdeen, Scotland. Corey, welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here with you.
Yes, it's good to be able to chat with you. And as my listeners will no doubt remember, I've talked about Ratio Christi before on several episodes and my fondness for the organization and for the work that that it is doing. So, well, let's start, Corey, with you. You became the president of Ratio Christi in 2015. So I wonder if you would share a bit of how that transition has gone from a personal viewpoint and then from an organizational viewpoint.
Yeah, well, I was coming off the heels of a very difficult time, Mike. I attempted a PhD at Purdue University, got into my fifth year during the dissertation phase, and was essentially shoved aside by my director, who said I had too much of a faith perspective. That launched me into faculty ministry because I realized how hostile it was up on top, and I joined Campus Crusades faculty ministry, staying right here at Purdue, trying to reach professors. and started the PhD all over again from the University of Aberdeen. And over that time, ended up developing some new skills and a new vision, going after professors and multiplying exponentially what I was hoping to do just by having four or five classes myself. When I finally graduated, right around that time, I got a call from Rocio Christie that there was a vacancy in their president's role. And I thought, wow, I feel battle-hardened from my experience in grad school, as a professor myself, as an undergrad, and this organization seems to fit hand in glove. And so I jumped in full steam and immediately changed two things. One, we started developing a faculty ministry, and we changed the name, number two, to represent that. It was Rocio Christie Student Apologetics Alliance, and it is now Rocio Christie Campus Apologetics Alliance to include the faculty. And also, we think that churches sometimes refer to themselves as campuses, and so we want to include that as well.
Yes, very, very good. Very good. Well, Rocio Christie expresses its mission within the framework of Christian discipleship. And I pulled this right off of your website, Corey, and I thought it was very good. You list there three very important values. Well, number one, that Christians must understand their faith. And that almost seems like one of those does statements to me when I read it. But then I realized, no, actually, that's very important. And it is the foundation of everything that Rocio Christie does, is to help help students, even professors, high school students, to understand their faith, what it is they actually believe and why. So that was the first value. And then the second one was Christians must live in the world, but not be of it. And then the third one was Christians must have compassion and understanding for their neighbor who needs saving faith in Jesus Christ. So those three values, when put into practice, look like something very specific. How important is it that we educate Christians in apologetics and worldview thinking?
Yeah, well, when we think about the faith denotes a body of doctrines on one level that are essential for Christians to believe. There's a lot of non-essential doctrines, and we could be right on every one of those, but if we're wrong on the essential doctrines of the faith, even if we're very sincere, we're sincere enough to lose our souls. So, especially in the a marketplace of competing ideas and religious ideas, how do I know Islam is not true or Mormonism is not true? I need to know with confidence. I need to have a reasonable faith, and so we want to be able to equip people with why they believe what they believe and not just what they believe.
Yes. Yeah. So helping Christians to live in the world but not become part of the world system requires that we really help people to understand what the Bible has to say about the faith and how in many cases they may be standing alone. And what I mean by that, Corey, is that when students go to college campuses, especially students who come from a faith household where they were raised in the church, and they go to a college campus, it can very easily look like a very barren, very desert kind of experience, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you mentioned the Bible, you know, I think that when we think about the gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some people will never read the first four accounts, but they will read the fifth account, that is your life.
Yeah.
And sometimes make a determination based on what they see in you and I as representatives of Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to just be a bunch of fatheads out there. We're not about trying to convert people to some kind of Christian intellectualism. We want them to be able to give an adequate, intellectual, articulate defense of their faith, but we want our lives to speak, as some people have, you know, mentioned Francis of Assisi saying, preach the gospel every day, and if necessary, use words. And that speaks volumes, that my life ought to be proclaiming Christ. But at the end of the day, especially with the competing marketplace of religious ideas, we do need to use words, and we need to show the distinction between Christianity and other worldviews. And when students get to college, I mean, there are two major issues going on there. On the one hand, virtually all the professors are not speaking the language of their church and their background, and they're not affirming it, and in many cases, they're downright hostile. On the other hand, Friday night, Saturday night comes around, and all the frat parties are happening, and you want to be involved in what everyone else is doing. You're not with your youth group anymore or at home with your parents, and so there's this temptation. It's a double-edged sword that you don't want to give into it, but on the other hand, the only reason you don't is because, well, you have this worldview, but because all these smart, so to speak, professors have just shot holes in your bucket, you no longer have those convictions available, and so doubt sets in, and you've got this temptation and doubting. It's a vicious double-edged sword there.
Yes, yes, that's a very good way to describe it. One of the other values that you list, and I appreciate this, is that Christians need to show compassion for their neighbor, and that's really a key ingredient to evangelism. We're not ever going to argue someone into saving faith, or certainly not going to berate them into saving faith. In fact, it most likely will have the opposite effect. So it's very important that we show compassion to the lost in the way that we present the truth of the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And someone once said that Christianity without a burning desire for evangelism is hypocrisy.
Yes.
And quite honestly, if you really know Jesus and you understand the gospel and the light from darkness that he has brought you from, you can't help but share that good news. And it's not just the gospel for unbelievers, it's the gospel for us as believers as well.
That's a good point. Russia Christi is guided by a focus perhaps best defined by 1 Peter 3:15-16. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." And that really should be the guiding principle for every Christian and every local body of believers. And yet, based on my own experiences, Corey, there are many Christians who show little to no interest in sharing the gospel. And I don't understand how that can be the case, why Christians cannot get interested in apologetics, since it is so central to evangelism. What have you discovered in your work?
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I don't see how we can do evangelism today in the Western world without an appeal to apologetics. Not that everybody needs an intellectual reason. Some people just need a hug. Other people need an argument. But we're no longer living in this Christian-dominated America. I mean, just looking at what's happened over the last decade alone, we are living in a post-Christian era, and we're living in a church in exile, in a sense. But for Christians who don't see the sense of apologetics, and we get a lot of opposition from church youth groups, ironically, I really question whether they're actively engaging in evangelism, because those questions inevitably come up today like they never have before in this country.
Yes, and that's rather surprising. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, but I am, that a lot of opposition comes from churches, church youth groups. And I think probably the reason is, as you stated, that they're not really involved in evangelism, and that's a sad indictment against the church. And I think it starts at pulpits.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's being pumped oftentimes is lifestyle evangelism or relationship evangelism, not confrontational evangelism, or even what I've heard some say, not only do we not agree with confrontational evangelism, which means using words that might offend, But we don't even agree with conversational evangelism. We just want to do lifestyle, relational evangelism. But I'm sorry, coming from a Mormon background, their lifestyles look pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Distinguishes us then from the Mormons if we're not going to engage in conversation and in truth.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, I just noticed today on my news feed, Corey, that there are a series of articles that have been released. I think part two of three parts was released today. Part three comes out tomorrow, based on some Pew research data talking about the shift in numbers of those who profess Protestant Christian faith, those who profess to be evangelicals, and those who profess to be none of the above. And you're probably familiar with that as far as the nuns and the duns.
Yes.
Yeah, the nuns are those who say, I don't have any kind of faith. No type of affiliation, no background with any religious system, and that number, surprisingly, is increasing rapidly.
Yeah, it seems to be almost 1% per year, and we're seeing the millennials as a generation larger than the baby boomers as a enormous segment of that population, and so that is telling us is it only young adults, college students, but it's also high schools. It's coming at a very young age now.
Yeah.
And so now we have parents in a much larger demographic and number that aren't believers, or they're believers, but they're nominal believers, and they're not raising their children in the way they should go. And when they get older, they won't, or in this case, may well depart from it.
Yes. Yeah. The rise in those who say they have a pagan faith or subscribe to a Wiccan faith or something like that is also on the rise. And I think, Corey, looking at those statistics, it helps us to understand that our college campuses in America, they're really becoming a test face for the validity of the gospel. They're becoming a virtual battlefield, if you will. Christian young people that head into that not being made aware of what they're about to face are going to be in for a very stiff challenge. And what I like about Rascio Christi's approach to that subject is that you state that you try to foster a renaissance of Christian thinking in the universities. I'm wondering if you could touch on some of the strategies that you're employing to do that.
Yeah, and by the term renaissance, we're thinking rebirth. And there is some sense, at least perceptually, that Christianity has died in America, and long since has it been kicked out of the universities, even though they were founded on Christian principles and ideas. But the secular ethos and the secular vision has long since realized that if you control the textbooks, you control the culture. As goes the university, so goes the culture.
Yes.
And, you know, it's out of the universities that come our artists, our journalists, our political leaders, our doctors, lawyers, K through 12 educators, even future professors.
That's
and
right.
So, from top to bottom, our aim is to establish apologetics clubs and have local community apologists in the area to be able to function as liaisons between other campus ministries and area churches. And so from the top, we now go after professors with the idea that if you can reach the professor, then you can reach their classroom too for 30 years. It's exponential growth. It is not addition. And so you think about some people like Bill Bright, who founded Campus Crusade for Christ, one of the largest campus ministries in existence today, and one which I used to be an employee of. Bill Bright said before his death, if I could do it all over again, I would begin with professors.
Oh, yes.
And the startling thing about that, Mike, is that I think that is the great omission of the Great Commission. I think we've missed it. Even most campus ministries don't focus on it. And if we really want to reclaim the universities and the culture, we can't just be going after the students. We've got to go after the professors, too.
Yes, absolutely agree with that, Corey. Another one of the things that Ratio Christi, other Christian organizations who are trying to minister to students and professors on college campuses is the whole subject of discrimination, and that's on the rise, too.
Right. I mean, I can tell you my personal experience is, again, as an undergrad, I was kicked out of a class for proselytizing in my presentation. I took it legal. The college president put me back in the class. The professor gave me an A as long as I'd shut up for the rest of the semester, and I did. Grad school, I was all but done with my dissertation, had a 3.5, had funding from a different department, was told I had too much of a faith perspective, had to start all over again as an adjunct professor teaching ethics. I had a student in my class who was a former pastor who turned gay, and I was using an atheist textbook. I feel like I need to do that to cover my britches as a Christian teaching in a lion's den. Mm-hmm. And the atheist text gets to all of the common ethical issues you might think of, including human sexuality. And when they got there, he was a Bible basher, and I made my perspective known and wanted to give both sides to the issue. And this guy decided that he was going to the administration and charge me with creating a suicidal environment. So, so I not only experienced it on my own, but, you know, you've got plenty of literature out there today, Mike, that substantiates this. The most recent and most comprehensive, I think, text, a full volume on this topic is called Compromising Scholarship, Religious and Political Bias in American Higher Education. And what George Yancey does in this book, he's a sociologist from the University of North Texas. He sends out a survey across the nation, multidisciplinary, and asks professors to check the box. If a guy came into your department, he wanted a job, and he identified with one of these 27 self-identified positions, would it make it more or less likely that you would hire him? And at the very bottom, Mike, number 27 was fundamentalist Christian. Next to that was evangelical. Several above that were Mormon. Several more above that, Muslim. Several more above that were Communist, Green Party, transgender. Up at the very, very top, you get the impression that to get a job in a university, you go into a department and you say, can I get a job here? And they say, well, tell us about yourself. I'm a Democrat. You're hired. Oh, by the way, do you have any college background?
Oh, my goodness.
It's not about being political here. I'm not trying to be political, but it's not just religious bias. It's complete and total political bias. So you get people like Michael Bloomberg, former New York of mayor of New York City. Mm-hmm. He said at Harvard at a commencement speech not long ago, he said, this is a good school. It's great that it practices sexual diversity, race diversity, all kinds of diversity. But you can't be a great school, but only a good school, if you don't have diversity in the area of ideas. And there's a problem when he says 96% of Ivy League faculty gave financial contributions to the Barack Obama campaign. We don't have 96% on anything in politics. So it is not a bastion of diversity at the universities. It is a social, religious, or anti-religious and political monolith. Mm-hmm. And we're sending our children into these what I call secular baptismal fonts, without them being properly trained, we've got a big accounting to do on Judgment Day.
Yes, very, very true. Corey, would you give us the name of that book again?
Sure. It's Compromising Scholarship, Religious and Political Bias in American Higher Education by Professor George Yancey. He was our keynote speaker at last year's National Ratio Christi Symposium.
Okay, because I know our listeners will be out on the hunt for that book, and I'm going to add that to my list to track down too. So, really, what we're talking about here is there seems to be this this prevailing idea that faith and reason cannot coexist, that somehow they're mutually exclusive, and And Rocio Cristi makes no bones about it, that that's a false dichotomy, and you go straight for the jugular on that. You present a very faith-based, intellectual, rational, gospel worldview to young people who are being swayed by this secular influence that you so well described, and especially those that will attack the Christian faith, make it a point to attack the Christian faith. Rocio Cristi stands up tall and strong against that.
Right, and we need to. You know, we just started, we've had, probably the last year, we've had a pilot program regionally for RC College Prep. So we've got about 30 clubs on high school campuses, but we believe that that's going to explode soon. We just started the launch, the national launch, this month, and we expect it's going to eclipse our 170-plus university chapters. But we're trying to work in tandem with area churches so that they'll take the onus of responsibility. We just want to be a resource to them, but they'll take the onus of responsibility and join with us in preparing students for what they're going to face in college. And when they get there, we've got Rocio Cristi student apologetics clubs, and we are a special ops ministry. We focus intently on apologetics evangelism. And so we don't, we're not a typical campus ministry, which has its Bible studies and prayer groups and large group meetings and things like that on Thursday nights. We actually partner with these other groups, and many of our chapters, half of the students that come make up the leadership of the Secular Student Alliance. So we really are engaging on that level. And then we want to provide reasonable elements for every single academic discipline, and that's why we're really trying to target a movement of missional professors to be able to help us out in that area. The other side's doing it. We need to do it.
Yes, absolutely so. And Rocio Cristi seeks to partner with other like-minded campus ministries. I appreciate that as well. You don't have a go-it-alone attitude at all. You're not in competition with other ministries. In fact, you spend a lot of time partnering with other campus ministries and putting on events and promoting their events and reaching out to churches and providing training courses for youth groups, high school students, junior high students, and that's something that that folks should applaud and be made aware of.
Right. We've got a page on our website, rociocristi.org, that it says no competition zone. When it comes to churches, campus ministries, we believe we can do things bigger and better together. And so one example of our mega event model is something I've been doing at Purdue for the last decade. And on the executive team exists, you know, the crazy charismatics, the frozen chosen Presbyterians, the behavioral Baptists. We're all nuts onto the bolt of Jesus there. But
amen.
We're friends, and we put our secondary and tertiary issues behind us so that we can unite over the key issues. We've got a dozen area churches, dozen campus ministries involved, and we hold huge events. At minimum, 1,000 people come. Maximum, we've had 14,000 with 60 countries around the world chiming in.
Oh, my.
Some hits on an internet YouTube video, put out books based on it. We utilize professors, pastors, and parachurch leaders to do that. We couldn't do it if we didn't partner. And so for us, part of our DNA is partnership.
Yes. You said 14,000?
Yeah, we had 4,200 show up to the debate between William Lane Craig and Alex Rosenberg. And prior to that night, Craig told me that his largest international audience was six countries. We had 60 countries that night.
Wow.
And, 10,000 people watching from 60 countries.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Praise God. Well, the last time we chatted, Corey, I mentioned that Rocio Cristi now has over 170 chapters on college and university campuses and even some internationally, but I think that number is even higher now.
Yeah, I would say it's probably more like 180 right now, but we've got a bunch of stuff in the pipeline. Like, there are 25 applications right now going through in the pipeline. We just brought on 3 brand new full supported missionaries that are raising their support in Colorado. We didn't have any there, as of, 3 months ago.
Excellent.
So yeah, we're growing rapidly. I think we're probably the fastest growing campus ministry. And we're constantly recruiting from the seminaries. Next week I'll be at Denver Seminary, Talbot. Last week I was at Asbury and Southern Evangelical Seminary. A couple weeks I'll be at Liberty and Moody and Multnomah and SES. We really want to partner with the seminaries and yes. offer them something that, for their grad students that have programs in philosophy, science and religion, apologetics, or biblical studies where they want to do apologetic thinking. If they want a job, it's not likely they're going to get hired for degrees like that in a pastoral post. And they might, but usually there are more practical pastoral posts to hire first, like a children's pastor and youth pastor, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they won't get a job at a secular university with those degrees only. So we're telling them, look, we're offering employment for all your grad students at Biola. They've got, 200 grad students in their apologetics program and over 100 in their philosophy program. We're offering an opportunity to deploy those trained people onto the field. And now we're actually seeing symbiotically a relationship developing that our grad student or our undergrads in our college campus clubs are now graduating. Some of them want to go on for further training, want to go to seminary. So now we're sending them back into those partner institutes. And so it's a symbiotic relationship in those institutes.
That's actually very exciting, Corey. And I think it speaks to the fact that there is a genuine thirst among students today to actually understand what Christianity actually teaches and what they actually believe and why. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. People have been starving for the longest times because a lot of the churches, unfortunately, have not been offering that. And until the last 2 decades, the focal point of many, many seminaries became, church growth and counseling. And there was a deficiency in theology and philosophy. But we're seeing now that we're moving into the church in exile and into a post-Christian era in this country, we have got to be training our people. Let me give you one quote, if I can, Mike.
Sure, absolutely.
By an atheist professor. It's called, the book title is by Peter Boghossian called A Manual for Creating Atheists. He's a philosophy professor. And he says this in his chapter, Faith in the Academy. It's like he read our website. He said, employing universities in a struggle against faith is a cornerstone in the larger strategy to combat faith, promote reason and rationality, and create skeptics. Many university grads are going to become the next generation of leaders and policymakers. We need to train educators not just to teach students how to think critically, but also how to nudge attitudes about faith on their downward spiral. Mm-hmm. And this is a clarion call about how to take away the faith of students when they come in.
Yes, that's couldn't have said it better. And I know that Peter has been very influential in his writings, and I'm glad to see that folks are starting to challenge that now.
Yeah.
If some of our listeners, Corey, are stoked now about apologetics, and they'd like to be able to find out information about how they could start a chapter, maybe on their campus, where would they go to get that information? What's a starting point?
Yeah, go to RocioChristi.org, and right up on the top, you'll find RC Prof, so our professor ministry. Even if there's not an undergrad chapter there, you can network around the nation with our prof ministry. You can see all of our video and book and article resources by other Christian professors serving at secular universities, and even an interview with Alliance Defense Fund in terms of professors' rights, how far is too far. You can look on RC International, join us for our excursions with faculty and students at places like Berlin and Beijing and Tel Aviv, Israel and Indonesia and other places around the world. We've got our RC College Prep. If you want us to do a conference in your area, invite a bunch of the youth workers from Young Life and the youth ministries and the churches to come together, we'll do that. And we also are reaching out to parents and to grandparents. We have resources for them as well.
That is excellent. So you did mention that you do have an outreach to college professors, and I think that's vital. You mentioned Bill Bright, the quote from him, that if he had to do it over again, he would have started with college professors. And so that's good to hear that you've got that available for professors. How can churches, we've got pastors that listen, we've got ministry leaders that listen, how can churches or even businesses, there are a lot of Christian business owners out there that are interested in partnering with organizations such as Ratio Christi, how can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously on the ministerial side, you know, we can come in and help you and assist you in developing a college prep program. Our stuff is ready to go. It's prepackaged. You just run with it. You don't even have to be an apologist to do it. We also want to try to, for those churches that circle around universities to some extent, to ask you to send us your PhD students and your professors, and we'll develop them from being professors who happen to be Christians to becoming missional professors, to seeing what they're doing as a calling and not a job, a vocation and not an occupation. And then we want to partner with churches and campus ministries in doing these mega events. We'll spearhead them, but we want them to be ours and not just Ratio Christi's. And then finally, look, we've been only at this for about 6 years, and we're already up to about 200 chapters and getting people like Evangelical Philosophical Society to call us and want to partner with us. We've been running on a shoestring budget. If you could help us out in that area, we've got tremendous needs. If we've been able to do this much on a shoestring budget in 6 years, imagine if we actually had some resources, what we could do.
So that is ratiochristi.org. If you're interested in financially supporting the ministry, ratiochristi.org, there's a place on there you can do that. Now, coming up in October, on the weekend of the 15th and 16th, Ratio Christi is hosting the 6th Annual Symposium and Student Retreat in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I wonder if you would tell our listeners about that event, Corey.
Yeah, we welcome high school students, college students, grad students. We've got a professor track there, and we've got several profs that are going to be doing sessions for a prof track. And there's even whitewater rafting for students. But we hold this in conjunction with the largest apologetics conference called the National Conference on Christian Apologetics. We get some of their speakers. They get some of ours. Our conference theme this year is cultural engagement, moving forward in a backwards world. And our keynote speaker is none other than Dr. Carol Swain, an African-American female conservative political science professor at Vanderbilt University, the place where all the campus ministries began getting kicked off.
Wow. It's going to be great.
We'll deal with race, economics, sexuality, traditional apologetics, and so forth.
Well,
go to our website.
Yeah, with that kind of a lineup, I can't imagine that anybody couldn't find something that they're interested in.
Yeah. Science and Islam, sexuality, current events. We've got a ton of things going on there.
And that's open to the public. So more information on the Ratio Christi website. Check it out, the 6th Annual Symposium Student Retreat in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, one other website I wanted to mention, Corey, is thepoachedegg.net. Thepoachedegg.net. It's really a one-stop website for all sorts of apologetics resources. They're a big supporter of Ratio Christi. I know that Greg West is a member of the organization and a very fine apologist in his own right.
Right. I was with him just today. It's, I think, the fifth most trafficked apologetics website on the Internet.
That is absolutely amazing. Well, before we go, Corey, is there any other projects or things you want to share with our listeners that they may be interested in?
I think what we're developing now is trying to get our faculty and student groups to come together and descend upon international locations where we're partnering even with other campus ministries, but where we're doing life together and we're bringing not just the hands and the heart of Christ, but the head of Christ to universities across the world. And then we've just begun, starting this week, actually, RCTV. And that's on the Aramaic Broadcasting Network. So,
wow.
Dual producing for them. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's, just, is it RC.TV or RCTV?
It's going to be RCTV, but it's on the Aramaic Broadcasting Network. It's, the Trinity channel of the ABN.
Okay. Broadcasting.
Not TBN, but ABN, the Trinity channel on ABN.
ABN. Wow. Well, that's pretty exciting news.
Yes, very much so.
Well, Corey, I appreciate your time today, and it's nice to chat with you, and I hope that we can do this again soon.
You too, Mike. Appreciate your partnership, brother.
God bless you, my friend.
You as well.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, Pastor Mike.